After they had eaten the evening meal with the rest of the family, Dorian and Yasmini took their leave. Yasmini embraced Sarah first, then her own son Mansur. She kissed his eyes and stroked his hair, which gleamed in the firelight like molten copper poured from the melting pot. Tom hugged Dorian so hard that his ribs creaked. "Damn my eyes, Dorian Courtney, I thought we'd got rid of you at last and could pack you off to a man." Dorian hugged him back. "Are you not the unlucky one? I'll be here to plague you for a while yet." Though Mansur embraced his father briefly, he did not speak or look into his eyes, and the line of his lips was hard with bitter disappointment. Dorian shook his head sadly. He knew that Mansur had set his heart on glory, and his own father had snatched it from him. The pain was still too intense to be assuaged by words. Dorian would console him later. Dorian and Yasmini left the campfire and started down the beach together. As soon as they were out of the ruddy light of the flames, Dorian placed his arm around her. They did not speak, for they had said it all. The physical contact expressed their love more than words ever could. At the turning of the sandbar, where the deeper channel ran close in to the beach, Dorian stripped off his robes and unwound his turban. He handed his clothing to Yasmini and waded naked into the water. The tide was flowing strongly between the rocky heads, and the water was chilled with the memory of the open ocean. Dorian dived into the deep channel and surfaced again, gasping and snorting with the cold. Yasmini sat on the sandbar and watched him. She did not share his love of cold water. She held his clothes in a bundle, then almost stealthily buried her face in them. She inhaled the masculine odour of her husband and delighted in it. Even after all these years, she had never tired of it. The smell of him made her feel safe and secure. Dorian always smiled when she picked up the discarded robe he had worn all day and donned it in preference to her nightdress. "I would wear your skin if it were possible," she replied seriously to his gentle teasing. "This way I can be close to you, part of your raiment, part of your body." At last Dorian waded ashore. The phosphorescence of the tiny plankton in the lagoon sparkled upon his body, and Yasmini exclaimed with delight, "Even nature decks you in diamonds. God loves you, Al-Salil, but not as much as I do." He stooped over her, kissed her with salty lips, took his turban from her, and used it to dry himself. Then he wound it round his waist as a loincloth, and let his long, wet hair hang down his back. "This night breeze will finish the job before we reach our hut," he told her, and they walked back along the sand to the encampment. The sentry greeted them and called a blessing as they passed the watchfire. Their own hut was well separated from that of Tom and Sarah. Mansur preferred to sleep with the ship's officers and the men. Dorian lit the lanterns, and Yasmini carried one when she went behind the screen at the far end of the room. She had furnished the hut with Persian carpets, silk draperies, silk mattresses and cushions filled with wild goose down. Dorian heard the purl of water from the jug into the basin, and Yasmini hummed and sang softly as she washed. Dorian felt his loins stir. This was Yasmini's prelude to lovemaking. He threw his robe and damp turban aside and stretched out on the mattress. He watched her silhouette thrown by the lamplight onto the design of birds and flowers that decorated the Chinese screen. She had placed the lamp artfully and knew he was watching her. When she stood in the basin and bent over to wash her intimate parts, she turned so that he could watch the shadow show and see how she was sweetening and preparing the way for him. When at last she came out from behind the screen, she hung her head demurely, allowing her hair to hang forward over her face like a dark silver-shot curtain. She covered her pudenda with both hands, then tilted her head and peeped at him with one eye through the veil. It was huge and luminous with the light of passion. "You succulent, salacious little houri," he said, and stiffened into full arousal. She saw what she had done to him, and tinkled with laughter. She let her hands fall to her sides, and her own sex was meticulously plucked free of hair. It was a plump and naked cleft below the ivory smooth curve of her belly. Her breasts were small and pert, so her body seemed that of a young girl. "Come to me," he commanded, and she obeyed with joy. Much later in the night, Yasmini felt him stir beside her and came fully awake immediately. She was always sensitive to his moods or needs. "Are you well?" she whispered. "Is there anything you need?" "Sleep on, little one," he whispered back. "'Tis only your friend and fervent admirer who demands to be taken in hand." He stood up from the mattress. "Please convey to the friend my respectful salams and my wifely duty," she whispered. He chuckled sleepily and kissed her lightly before he rose from their mattress. Dorian would only use the chamber pot in the gravest emergency. Squatting was the woman's way. He slipped out through the back door to the pit latrine, which stood 50 yards from their hut, screened from the trees of the forest verge. The sand was cool under his bare feet, the night air soft and perfumed by forest flowers and the fret of the ocean. When Dorian had relieved himself, he started back. But he stopped before he reached the rear door of the hut. The night was so beautiful, and the blaze of the stars so dazzling, that they mesmerized him. He stared up at them, and slowly he found himself transported into a deep sense of peace. Until this moment he had been storm-tossed by doubts. Had his decision to turn his back on the elephant throne been selfish and unfair to Mansur? Had he failed in his duty to the peoples of Oman, who were grinding under the cruel yoke of Zayn al-Din? He knew deep in his heart that Zayn had murdered their father. Did not the laws of man and God also place upon him the blood duty of retribution for the terrible crime of patricide? All these doubts receded as he stood now under the stars. Even though the night was chilly and he was naked as a newborn, he was still warm from the arms of the only woman he had ever loved. He sighed with contentment. "Even if I have sinned, it was the sin of omission. My first duty is to the living, not the dead, and Yasmini needs me as much, if not more, than all the others." He started back towards the hut, and at that moment he heard Yasmini scream. It was a shocking sound, terror and mortal agony blending.